This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Lucky me, I got the big guy talking dynasties in my ear 20 seconds before showtime. Hey, July, where are you? As we say hi, I'm Patrick Maher, the big guy, all shiny and bright today. Of course, Amal Shaw. Fellas, how we doing? What's going on?
Nothing much, doing well. And I'll tell you who's doing really well is Ronald Acuna Jr., man. This guy just continues to sizzle. And by the way, I think the MVPs in both leagues are kind of solidified at this point in time. Shohei in the American, I don't know if you could have a better individual game performance, two homers and get a win. And then on the flip side, Acuna, they're down 1-0. Just hit a couple of homers before we even get to the fourth inning.
Dustin Sweetelson, I would imagine you agree with them all, Shaw, as you were just espousing in my ear about the Braves setup for the next 12 years. Now, unfortunately, the show was starting in 30 seconds because I would have preferred to break down each year over the next 12 with you. We can start now. And as we say hi to you, big guy, got plenty to do. We'll get into the unfortunate news about Ryan Mallett. Of course, tomorrow, we're all excited, anticipating the drop of the NFL betting guide. It's awesome. Everybody deserves a ton of credit. We're going to hit it once an hour today. We're going to relate it back to the guide. Mike Pritchard is going to join. Of course, we've got plenty to do, but big guy, I don't know if we've heard from your boy. It sounds like you're a Braves fan now, but also Steve Cohen, the Mets owner, has he spoken? Because yesterday, the last we checked, he got on Twitter and said, today's the day.
Yeah, I have not heard from him yet, but to Amal's point about the MVP stuff, DraftKings posted a new market this morning, and it's Shohei versus any other player in the AL, Acuna Jr. versus any other player in the NL. Acuna's minus 190, Otani's minus 1200, any other player in the AL is plus 650, in the NL it's plus 150. Want you to bookmark that because you asked how I'm doing and I'm not doing well.
First off, great job relating back to the book, and that's very interesting. We love, it's fascinating to me, even the 4 months that we've been doing Sharp Money here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, and for those that don't know and just joining us, we are a part of the DraftKings family. It's fascinating to me how the menu continues to expand at DraftKings day to day, and I would imagine the NFL and college football season will have a lot to do with that as well. But yeah, I mean, I think it's probably no surprise that the greatest baseball player of all time is a big time favorite in the AL. And we should probably start there. Last night, what Shohei Ohtani did is insane. Let's throw up the odds quickly. American League MVP odds over at DraftKings. He's minus 1200, which is pretty unbelievable.
Something wrong.
I was watching just for a second. I tuned in and he had been pulled. He went 6 1/3, 1-run ball, 10 strikeouts. Oh yeah. He reached base 4 times and he cracked a nail, Amal. And after the cracked nail, so he came out of the game as a pitcher, he extended his arms on a low and away splitter and went opposite field. So he took him, he was released or excuse me, taken out of the game as a pitcher and then came back and hit a bomb, his second of the game. He now has what, 28 home runs on the season. What he's doing is dumb.
But to your point, when he came over from Japan, I was expecting a player that, you know, could contribute offensively and could pitch maybe as a number 4 starter, maybe a number 3 at best. I wasn't expecting him to be a number 1 and then be a number 1 on offense. I mean, think about how good this guy is. The best player in baseball has been an afterthought and he plays on the same team as him. I don't recall ever going to almost July and barely talking about Mike Trout when you talk about baseball.
Well, you just said Mike Trout. That's a great point. And we can get into kind of historically and contextualize what he's doing, but he is absolutely, I mean, Mike Trout's in his shadow offensively. Last time I checked, Mike Trout doesn't have the 15th best ERA in baseball. He doesn't have the third most strikeouts in baseball. He doesn't have the lowest batting average against in baseball. He doesn't have the best WAR in baseball. I'm talking about Mike Trout. And that's just Ohtani as a pitcher. Now you flip to Ohtani as a batter. He leads the majors in OPS. He leads the majors in home runs. He leads the majors in RBIs. If I were just to throw to you, Is this the most impressive athlete we've ever seen? The only person, and maybe we can go plural with persons, obviously Bo Jackson in our lifetime. But if I were just to give you this example, what Shohei is doing right now, no other baseball player, no other athlete on the planet could do. The only one that I could come up with on my walk today is Deion Sanders did it at an elite level in two different sports in our lifetime. So maybe that's it, but it's insane.
I would agree with you on Deion, but I would also give credit to guys like you mentioned Bo Jackson, obviously tremendous in terms of what he was able to do, pro bowler and all-star, but even Brian Jordan played two sports. And I think if you've ever been around professional sports like Dustin and you have your whole lives, the pyramid to get to the NFL and Major League Baseball is so steep. I don't think people truly realize that. There was a guy that played on the 96 Atlanta Olympic team and for U.S., was drafted by the Brewers in the top 10. Never made it to the show. So you think about guys like this that I'm talking about that have played professionally in both sports. It's incredibly impressive. Dave Winfield was drafted in three sports. I would agree with you. I think when you get into some of these types of things, you can find so many different angles and arguments that you can make. But you're absolutely right. We've never seen a player in our lifetimes, be able to achieve offensively and defensively, because baseball is unique in the sense that, generally speaking, a pitcher is not going to be somebody that contributes on the offensive side, or an offensive power like Shohei is going to be someone who's such a defensive prowess because of his pitching aptitude. So it truly is amazing. This kind of harkens back to me for when Bonds in that 01 to 04 range would literally see one pitch a week and he would deposit it. I still thought that was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. You could say about the juice and all that, that's fine. But to see one pitch and just not miss on it was incredible.
Yeah, we are at the midway point of the season. So we've got plenty to do on baseball today, but big guy, the Angels are 44-37. Most of it has to do with your boy Shohei, 5 games behind the Rangers. I just mentioned he leads the majors in so many offensive categories. I mentioned he's one of the top 15 pitchers in all of baseball right now. We constantly on the network and sports bettors use the term value to the point where you get value shamed if you bring up the term value, because this industry is full of losers. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just talking about peeps. So how to measure value becomes a point of conversation, a point of contention for many. I would say his value to the Angels is unprecedented. Like, if you think about really what he means to a specific baseball team, Adam Burke came on the show and said they should rename the MVP the Shohei Ohtani MVP. I don't think it's out of the question. They're going to be talking about this guy as potentially the greatest of all time, and that's not hyperbole.
Well, I mean, look, me as a Mets fan, I want them to sign him this offseason. Why? Not just because he's the best player on the planet, but he fills two needs for them, a cleanup hitter and a frontline starter. That shouldn't be humanly possible. And you mentioned value, Patrick. I still think there's value for him for AL Cy Young at 11-1. I still think he's absolutely in the mix for that award. There is a chance the voters would allow him to win both awards, but I think we are sleeping at some of the things he has done over his first few, some trends over his first few seasons in the league, that if they hold up, he will absolutely be a much shorter number come the end of the season for AL Cy Young, potentially as one of the favorites.
It was the second, I think it was the second home run. And it was a splitter. It was low and away. And he just extended his arms, and it just showed you how strong he is. He is. And again, I don't want to say we talk about it constantly when we saw him in person, how huge and massive he is as a human being. Like, Mike Trout is built like a tank, but he was just, you know, he wasn't overly tall and crazy that way. Mike Trout just looks like a tank. Shohei is built like a tank, but like 4 inches taller than Trout. It's insane. He's so strong, and he's just gotten better.
You know, you brought up a great comparison there, Patrick. Think about this. We talk about the greatness of Mike Trout, and I always get a little bit irritated when people want to say Trout should have got the MVP when the year Miggy hit for the Triple Crown. But Mike Trout has been a tremendous player for the last decade. And he's a good, very good defensive player. But now imagine if we said, oh, by the way, he pitches at a level of Framber Valdez. I mean, when you put that into context, it's unbelievable. It's like, okay, you're Justin Jefferson, and by the way, you're also Aaron Donald.
Well, what's he in the Cy? I think he just had the odds up there. Do you guys know the Cy for Shohei?
11-1.
He's which is insane. You just mentioned Framber, who is 3-1. McClanahan's plus 265. So those two right now, 1-2 in the market. And I know you're a big Valdez fan, Amal.
Yeah.
even he doesn't have the batting average against that Shohei has. Again, batters are hitting 180 against this kid. It's insane.
It really is. And I'll tell you, when you look right now at the top five favorites in the American League Cy Young, McClanahan, Framber Valdez, Kevin Gausman, Garrett Cole, and Shohei Ohtani, all five of them deserve a ton of credit for one thing in particular. They all play in what I would consider to be more offensive or favorable towards the offensive type of ballparks. They've all done a great job in terms of their performances. And Ohtani, I just think the only thing in terms of him, you would sit there and say, is people forget about him. Last night, perfect example. This game is, I think, a 6:40 start on the West Coast, 9:40 on the East Coast. He hits his second homer in the seventh inning, so that probably puts it somewhere around 11 o'clock Eastern, somewhere in there. So many people don't have the opportunity to see him. And I'm going to tell you guys, I was watching the game last night, and after his performance, I said to myself, the Dodgers think they're going to get him. I'm telling you right now, this guy is going to the New York Mets because Steve Cohen is going to offer the biggest deal of anybody else. The abomination that is the New York Mets this year is going to get rectified by bringing Shohei Ohtani in.
Maybe that's what the, you know what? That's a good point, big guy. Maybe the press conference today that he was calling was to say, don't worry, I know this season sucks, but
yeah.
Shohei, that two-way player that's going nuts right now, don't worry, I'm going to get him for you.
No,
that's Steve Cohen.
And he's going to end up in New York in a pressure situation. He's going to need Tommy John surgery. He's going to become a 220 hitter. He'll fit right in Queens.
You know what? The one thing he's right about, the Mets, the way they operate with their pitchers, it's criminal. It should be malpractice. They get too many guys that get injured. Josh was telling me he was in their farm system as a pitching coach. He said these guys are all driven by analytics. You see the number of injuries. They have more injuries in their farm system with pitchers, it seems like, than anybody else.
Okay, here's a homework assignment for the next 4 minutes for the two of you. We are at Major League Baseball's midway point. I just want you to pick your favorite storyline thus far. That's all. It's going to be very simple. No pressure. Don't think too hard. Your favorite storyline. It can't be the Mets for you, big guy. We continue. Also, we'll get to the sad news. Ryan Mallett passing at 35. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Dustin, quick, look behind you. There's somebody. No, I'm just playing. We welcome you back, Sharp Money. Dustin can't move his neck. We're trying to get him to move it violently. Hey, we say hi. Now, a couple things. One, we do have an update. It looks like Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, with that cryptic tweet yesterday that he's going to address the Mets fan base today. It's going to happen coming up in 45 minutes. So we'll have the live reaction. We've got Mike Pritchard joining our guy Pritch, looking forward to it. We're going to connect back to this betting guide, the NFL betting guide, and VSIN senior NFL analyst Pritch is going to join Keith Smith. Okay, no, stop with the shtick, dude. You're driving me crazy. He's going
to
join talking
just need
baseball.
You to acknowledge it.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, seriously, go ahead and take over the show, please. Josh Inglis covers Major League Baseball betting for Covers. He's going to join. So plenty to do, but I am interested to hear from Steve Cohen, of course, talking baseball. And speaking of baseball, boys, so I asked you to talk about, as we've hit the Major League Baseball midway point, the storylines and surprises. I'm going to grab an easy one just because I got a little backstory here. So the Reds are 42-38. They're a half game up in the Central. Since Elly De La Cruz has joined the major league team, they're 13-5. But it's not just that, and you know this, Dustin and Amal as well. It's Matt McClain at short. It's Steer, who's got 14 home runs. It's Andrew Abbott, the lefty. Like, these are young kids that are going to be there for a long time, and it's headlined by Elly De La Cruz. Now, here's what's fascinating about him. Did you guys know that he is a twin? He was in the same womb and born the same day as his twin brother. His twin brother's name is Pedro. His twin brother lives in Dominican Republic and owns a car wash. Okay. His name's Pedro. He's 5'8". When Pedro was young, he was taller. He was bigger. He was stronger than Elly De La Cruz. He topped out at 5'8". Also, Elly De La Cruz has seven other siblings and average size parents, all right around 5'7", 5'8". Elly De La Cruz is 6'5", a switch hitting, tooled up machine, a phenom, magnetic, who just recently signed a bat for Patrick Mahomes and wrote on the bat, the fastest man in the world. I don't know how it happens. You share a womb with somebody. That dude ends up 5'8", and you end up a foot taller at 6 foot five and one of the best young prospects in the history of the game, but that's Ellie De La Cruz. So those are my two big storylines, and they're wrapped up in one. The Reds, no expectations. They're in first in the Central. Ellie De La Cruz, we didn't hear of him until he popped, and all of a sudden, he's hitting for the cycle 10 games in. That to me, and just the idea that he shared a womb with somebody, and that dude's a 5'8" car wash owner, and he's over here raking for the Reds. I just love it. And speaking of which, isn't O'Neill Cruz like 6'7", the shortstop there with the Pirates, who's also from the Dominican Republic? And if you guys have ever been there, just like on a vacation, you're walking down the beach one day, you're going to see kids taking hacks with coaches on the beach, because that's all that we send, and Major League Baseball teams send over coaches to the Dominican, and they just take kids and they just take them to the beach and they just absolutely practice nonstop. And that's Ellie De La Cruz. So that's mine. Any reaction? And you're up, Amal Shah.
Well, first of all, he's been so much fun to watch. I think he's one of these players that when he's at bat, you tune in because he's just so electric. He's the kind of guy you're not hoping that he hits a homer. You're hoping for a double or a triple because you just want to see him get on those base paths and just kind of burn rubber out there. But he's been a ton of fun. I'm going to go with one that's kind of obvious, actually. The Atlanta Braves and the Tampa Bay Rays, what they've been able to accomplish, and when you look at the top teams in terms of regular season records and then postseason success, of the top 10 records of all time, only four have won the World Series. The top two, the Cubs, going way back, tied with the Seattle Mariners of 01. The Cubs from 1906 didn't win the World Series either. And I think this is important simply because that 98 Yankees team won 114 games, won the World Series. I don't know if the Braves or the Rays are going to get to that number. I don't think they are. Right now, they're on pace for about 105, 106. But I'll tell you what, guys. Atlanta, the way they do it, it's exciting. It's interesting. We've talked about them quite a bit on the show because obviously Dustin being a Mets fan, they're in the same division. But we talk about Acuna. We talk about Olsen. Austin Riley, we haven't even mentioned a ton of. We've talked about Strider. They've had some injured pitchers. And then you mentioned it. You and Dustin both mentioned this about a week ago. And I went back and looked even more so. Ozzie Albies might be on the worst contract in the history of sports. This guy's making $7 million for the rest of his natural born life, it seems like, for the Atlanta Braves. And all he's going to do is be about a, you know, guy that's going to put up 25 to 30 homers plus every year and just contribute in every way possible. But to me, when you look at the success of these two teams, they were not the ones necessarily. Yes, we expected the Braves to be there, but the Dodgers were the team probably in the National League. The Rays were a team you thought would contend, but Toronto and the Yankees were the two picks in the American League East. It's just the way that they've played for me that's been so impressive.
Yeah, and they picked up their 53rd win this morning. We were talking about what an early game today. The Braves beat up on the Twins 3-0, so not necessarily beating up on them. They won last night as well. Speaking of winning last night, rain delay, but the Reds got it done as a dog in Baltimore. They're a dog again, plus 148. To your point, Amal, those are the two best teams in baseball. Tampa Bay sitting on 54 wins, and now with the win today, I mentioned the Braves are sitting there with 53, and I would agree with you. Two best teams in baseball. You look at the World Series odds, the Braves are sitting 3.5 to 1. The Braves are plus 475. Your third betting favorite in the market, 6 to 1. So to your point, the two best leagues, NL, Braves, AL, Rays. Big guy, you're up.
Also, Ronald Acuna Jr. might be the best player in the history of the game outside of Shohei Ohtani.
I disagree, but
he's
great.
Doing, I saw a stat earlier on social, and it was he had stolen a ton of bases in the month of June, and he had hit a ton of bombs. And I was like, well, get ready for the month of July because he's going to do it again.
He's in 80 games, just under halfway home, 19 homers, 36 steals. If he homers tonight or tomorrow, or I'm sorry, tomorrow or Friday, and he goes into halfway point at 20 and 36, he will potentially be on pace for 40 and 70.
Well, let me ask him all this, because we're older than you and you remember this well. 40-40 club when we were coming up. Remember when Canseco reached the 40-40 club? It was like the biggest for a baseball nerd like myself, and I'm sure like you as well, living in Ohio. Like Canseco 40-40 was massive. what he's on pace for. What did you say the numbers are he's on pace for right now, big guy?
He has 19 homers, so that's 38. And he has 36 steals, that's 72.
40-70.
40-70! Your brain, if in the history of baseball, your brain cannot compute those numbers.
Are we just skewed as far as statistics right now? Because that's insane.
Stolen bases.
Yeah, stolen bases are skewed because I'll tell you one thing. What was it, 85 when Ricky had 130? I forgot the year which he had the 130 steals. You imagine
is that when he ripped third base and put it over his head?
He gave the shortest speech in the middle of a game ever.
By the way, Ricky Henderson has the greatest line ever. When he was with the Padres, Steve Finley goes, "Hey, Ricky, you don't have to sit in the back. You've got tenure." He goes, "Tenure? I got 19 years."
1982, he stole
130. Oh, 82, 85. Sorry, 85 was Vince Coleman, and Vince Coleman stole 110 with the Cardinals and Willie McGee. But – you know, to me, when you look at these guys, the inability to throw over the second time, I think if you're a pitcher, you can't burn that toss over the second time. Because then as the runner, you could basically be walking your way to second base already before he does anything. So I think from that standpoint, it's incredibly impressive. There are four guys in the 40-40 club. We talked about this before. The three are obvious. Canseco, you mentioned, I think, what was that, 88 or 89 when he was 40-40? And then Bonds and A-Rod. And then people forget about Alfonso Soriano. And to me, what this guy in Ronald Acuña Jr. has been able to do is amazing. By the way, guys, do you know what's so ridiculous about this Braves team? We know Arise is leading the league in hitting. Number two is Acuña Jr. And Arise has got 111 hits. Acuña Jr. has got 106. Every other category in baseball, home runs, Matt Olson, RBI, Matt Olson, run score, Ronald Acuña, stolen bases, Ronald Acuña, ERA, Elder, strikeout, Strider. I mean, the Braves are just dominating everything.
Can I do my take?
We'll hold on to it because you're going to tease us coming up in about 40 seconds. But just to your point, didn't Acuña do this or almost hit the 40-40 club a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he came very close. He went in 2019, 41 homers, 37 steals.
So we could be looking at potentially his second in 5 years? He's 40-40?
Yeah. Guys, he's 25 years old. Like, he's That's not scary. Done getting better.
That's scary.
Like, he actually has a couple more years to improve.
And missed a chunk with a major injury, correct?
Yeah, he had a knee injury.
Remember when was that the time when he was going into first?
Slipped on
base. And he turned his kneecap inside out and didn't miss any time? Or was that the injury
That's
I'm
it.
Thinking of?
That's it. He slipped on the base, messed up his knee.
Is he Dominican as well?
Venezuelan.
My goodness.
Remember, they also won the World Series without him. He was hurt.
That's
that
true.
He was hurt.
Yes, exactly.
My assumption is he could help a team in the postseason.
He might be able to pitch. He might be the next Shohei.
All right, good one, Amal. I did the Reds, so I kind of cheated. Go ahead, big guy. What are you teasing here?
Oh, well, the Braves are a dynasty, but I have a different team that I think is by far the most underrated story in baseball.
We continue. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, so Wes wrote about the Falcons in the guide. Amal Shaw has a Falcons take coming up in just a bit. Remember, the guide drops tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. You guys are going to be excited when you see it. That's all I can tell you. Guys and gals, it's awesome. $175. So here's what I suggest. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Remember, if you sign up today, you're going to get the guide as soon as it drops tomorrow. And what I encourage, in fact, I was texting with a friend yesterday, $175, the summer kickoff special. So what this does is everything we do, including college football, including golf, including the picks, including, you know, the tools, everything we do through the Super Bowl will be yours for just $175. So make sure you check it out. And most importantly, the guide that drops tomorrow, vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we welcome you back. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing better than the big guy's neck. How is your neck? I was kind of joking with you earlier, but what happened to you, Dustin?
I was drying my head. I won't even say drying my hair. Drying my head, because there's not that much hair. And I don't know what I did, but I heard a snap, went to turn right, and was unable to. That's
now,
where
this
we
might
stand.
Be a positive, because you've been really, really good. Every time I talk to you, you're walking or headed to the gym. Maybe you're starting to use so many muscles and tendons that everything's loosening up. So an injury right now may be viewed as a positive, no?
Yeah, no, I think the injury happened because I'm so athletic that I move too quick for my own body to keep up with it. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I meant. You're just so super athletic. Oh, I meant to tell you guys. I'll get to this later. I have some programming news if you want to watch NFL games this year. That's all I'll tell you. But before we get to that, we've been talking a little bit about the midway point Major League Baseball season. When is the All-Star game? It's got to be coming up in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, week.
I know the voting.
Sorry, go ahead.
I want to say it was like the
July 12th.
10th? Yeah, it was around there.
Okay, so just or about 15 days away from the All-Star game, but we are at the midway point. So I kind of did a package here with Ellie De La Cruz, and of course, it's a cool name as well. The Reds, who are 42-38, a half game up in the Central. Terrible division, but the team has been awesome. 13-5 since De La Cruz arrived, but they also have McClain and Steer and Abbott, just a young, fun team. I'm all a little package with the best team in the NL and the best team in the AL, that being the Braves and the Rays, respectively. And now it's time for your midway point storyline or surprise, Dustin Sweetelson.
Well, other than Ronald Acuna being the best player I've ever seen play the game of baseball, I have to go with a topic related to all three of us and how sometimes you just need to listen to the words that come out of your mouth. When the three of us were previewing the National League West this season, all three of us were in agreement. You know, it may not be this year, but the Arizona Diamondbacks are a fun team building something. We kept talking about how we like this and we like that, and they have a good mix of veterans with a ton of high-powered youth guys coming through the system, and then they have the pitching with Zach Gallen, and they have all these pieces, and we all went, yeah, but probably not this year. And I think sometimes the lesson to be learned from our perspective is if you think a team could surprise and make a run, just bet on them, because to win the NL West beginning of the year, they were 40-1. To win the National League pennant, they were 60-1. They still have a three-game lead over the Dodgers, who have won that division forever. They have a 2.5-game lead on San Francisco. And by the way, outside of the Braves, probably the most fun team to watch in all of baseball. So my favorite story halfway through the year is, one, the Arizona Diamondbacks becoming a monster a couple years early. Two, Corbin Carroll being a complete baseball player year one, could potentially win Rookie of the Year and contend for the MVP this season. And the Arizona Diamondbacks just being ahead of schedule and fun to watch.
Corbin Carroll is a rookie. He's on pace for 34 home runs and 47 steals, 122 runs scored. Of course, we talked about this. Two rookies have won the MVP awards. Fred Lynn in 75, Ichiro in 01. And was Ichiro a true rookie? Probably not. But that's where Corbin Carroll is right now. He's ridiculous. And he right now only trails Acuna in both Baseball Reference and Fangraphs WAR, and you know WAR is win probability added. So it's not just that his numbers are eye-popping, but he's adding so much value to the team. And Dustin, you nailed it. As far as watching a team, they're so much fun to watch. The Reds and Diamondbacks just have a stranglehold on my television here in Hermosa Beach. It's a great one. I'm all thoughts on the Diamondbacks here.
Well, I agree with what Dustin said, and also he brought up a couple other points that I think are very important. One, you talked about identifying a team. If there's someone you believe in as a team for a futures market, I think it's a good bet on. And I think that's a point that you can apply, whether it's the NFL, college football, college basketball, whatever the sport may be. And Arizona's a perfect example of it. You know, everyone predicted the Dodgers are going to run away and hide with it. Well, sometimes you might be wrong. I like the Padres, okay? I don't think the Padres could win this division if the three teams in front of them decided to stop playing the rest of the year. I mean, that's how bad they've been at times. Dustin made a really good point. You brought up something at the start of the show, which I really liked. We didn't get into it. We may get into it a little bit later on. You talked about value. And I think people see things differently in terms of how they see value, how they quantify it. But I think if you're making a futures bet or you're taking a shot on a team, there's always an opportunity potentially, if you don't like the play, maybe to get off of it or do something else with it to kind of mitigate some of the risk or loss. And you look at it right now, we have a graphic up. To make the playoffs, the Diamondbacks are minus 250. Guys, you know, if you took this bet, Patrick, before the season started, you were probably getting around 3-1 or 4-1 on the D-backs to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Take a stand with the team. We all love the Diamondbacks. Maybe we should have went hard. Can I give an ancillary prize to the Miami Marlins,
yep,
which is insane? You look at their run differential. They're a -7. They're on pace right now to win 79 games by way of run differential. But in reality, they're sitting 46-34. They're on pace to win 93 games. They're 19-5 in one run games. So if you want to start talking luck there, but they're 19-5 in one run games, they have, I guess you could throw the Rangers as far as a big time surprise as second, and the Reds are creeping up on them. But I think Miami right now, it's a nondescript team in a nondescript market, pardon me, for baseball. The fact that they're sitting at 46-34 with a first year head coach, big guy, is insane.
16-1 to win the National League right now. And here's why I think that's interesting, because they really could be postseason bound. Like, there's a chance this doesn't go away. Here's why. They just got Jazz Chisholm back. He is their best offensive player. And by the way, one of the most electrifying players to watch in today's baseball world. Just does it all. Unfortunately, stuck playing a center field position that he's not really comfortable in yet. But offensively, an absolute monster. And last night, they get a throwback performance from Sandy Alcantara, who has been awful this season. A 4.82 ERA, but against Boston in Fenway, 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned, 5 strikeouts. If Sandy Alcantara can be just a semblance of what he was a year ago when he won the Cy Young Award, if Jazz Chisholm can stay healthy for the rest of the year, maybe there's a bat or two they can add down the stretch in a rental and a veteran that doesn't cost them any of these prospects, but they absolutely have the pitching to get it done and hang with everyone else in the National League.
You brought up the point I was going to make. Sandy's got 3 wins on the season. He has been horrific. It's rare that you see a Cy Young winner perform this poorly. If they get anything out of him, what they got close to last night, this team becomes extremely dangerous. I love watching Jazz Chisholm play. I think with his speed and what he's able to do, puts pressure on the defense guys. And this team right now is standing. Look, they're not going to win this division. We know Atlanta's going to run away and hide. They're already got a 7-game lead in the loss column. But more importantly, when you look at the wild card, it's them right now, the Giants, the Dodgers. Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and the Cubs are the teams that are lurking right there. But to me, Milwaukee can't score consistently. Philly doesn't have consistent pitching. I'm not a buyer in the Chicago Cubs at 37-40. I think this team is in a great position to make the postseason. And this is exactly what Dustin brought up the point with in terms of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Perfect example right now. Marlins 16-1, Patrick, to win the National League, to win the pennant. If you like them, they get into the postseason. You take them right now. This number, as we get towards September, will come down to about 12, 11-1, 10-1. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win it, but man, if you can get into that LCS, you've got a great opportunity to make a profit or even before then.
But pitching keeps you in ball games, right? And there are very few teams that are going to throw out there a combo of Yuri Perez, Lizardo, Alcantara, and Braxton Garrett, who's been very good this year. Like, that is going to keep them in every single game, and they just need a few timely hits here and there to get these wins.
And the Marlins are at the Red Sox tonight. Marlins with Garrett, $1.30 favorite, plus 120 coming back the other way with the Red Sox. And I think you both made a great point. If you were to start your preview with the Marlins this year, you would start with the name Alcantara, circle it, and then spider that out with the rest of the team. And he's been literally a subpar player for them. And they're sitting here. Look, they're not going to catch the Braves, but like you said, Amal, I mean, they're first in the wild card standings, and they're a ridiculous 46-34 with that payroll. We should give a shout out. I think it was the first president or general manager that was a woman that was hired by the Marlins. Isn't that who's running the team? Kim, and she deserves a shout out. Kim, she was with the Yankees organization forever.
I believe it's, I thought it was Kim NG.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce that. Shout to Kim. Is it Ang? Well,
I'm not sure. I don't know.
We're an inclusive. All I know is we're an inclusive show, and she's done a hell of a job.
Yeah. I mean,
because
she was picking up a mess. She had to clean up a mess in Miami.
Yeah. Derek Jeter lit a match and threw it over his shoulder on the way out, and Shorty came in and cleaned it up. Great job.
People don't know. She's been in the game of baseball for 33 years.
Yeah. She was with the Yankees organization forever, I believe. Okay. Good stuff on baseball. Midway point. Enjoyed it. When we return, the Atlanta Falcons are hot in the streets right now. Somebody on the panel here says, pump your brakes. That someone is Amal Shaw. We'll come back with that next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, bet $5 to get $150 over at DraftKings. You can download the app or go to DraftKings.com. Bonus bets, again, $5 to win $150, but you have to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, to get the deal. Make sure you check it out over at DraftKings. Use the promo code VSIN. So we've got our buddy Mike Pritchard, who is drafted by the Falcons. A little synergy here as we welcome you back. We've got the NFL draft guide dropping tomorrow. Can't wait for it. Can't wait for you to see it in particular. Looking forward to it. VSiN.com/subscribe to make sure you get in line for your guide. Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, I'm Patrick Maher. We mentioned Pritch is coming up in just about 14 minutes. He was drafted by the Falcons. The Falcons got some heat in the streets right now. They're sitting 8.5 over at DraftKings. You got to pay a little juice to go over to get to 9 wins. A year after finishing, 7-10 in an awful NFC South, the Falcons have kind of garnered some attention. Now, the Falcons had a middle-of-the-road offense last year. However, they did crack the top 10 in rushing offense behind the effective combination of Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Allgeier. So what did they do? They need to improve the defense. They went and drafted a running back in Bijan Robinson with number, what was that, fellas? Was that
number eight
overall?
Eight, yeah.
Number eight overall. So again, I'm not hating on Bijan Robinson. My assumption is he's going to be a great player. You'll get 4 or 5 good years out of him, and then he'll be a waste. But they drafted him. Maybe he pops. Desmond Ridder. This is, whether or not you want to bet the Falcons or not, everything, it's almost like with the Commanders, it all just hinges upon Sam Howell. Will we see that jump? There was some promise from Ridder. They're going to have to get better defensively, the Falcons, Amal Shaw. But let's go ahead and run with this. Atlanta Falcons, we're sitting 8.5.
Yeah, interesting number here. Let's start with the coach, Arthur Smith. I think he's one of the top coaches in the National Football League. Won't get that credit because they're not winning or people don't recognize them. And how many people outside of Georgia are really watching a Falcons game unless their team is playing Atlanta? So I think he's a guy that gets a little bit overlooked. Was formerly the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. Did a tremendous job there, as you guys recall, with Derrick Henry. And if anybody can lead Stephen Tannehill to the postseason, or excuse me, Ryan Tannehill, Stephen Tannehill, I think, was at South Carolina.
Yes.
But to me, he's done a tremendous job. Great play caller. You mentioned the rushing. Last year, they were third in rush yards, number one in rushing attempts. But this is where the challenge is for me, guys, with Atlanta and why I'm not a believer in this team, who was 15th in scoring offense. They were 31st in passing attempts and 31st in pass yards. That's an alarming number if you're looking at it from a Falcons perspective. And when you look a little bit more in depth about this team offensively, I mentioned they were 15th in scoring offense. You're middle of the pack, but it's a little bit deceptive. When you look at their final 9 games of the year, in 7 of those 9 games, they failed to exceed 21 points. In 6 of those 9 games, they were in the teens or below. That's an alarming number when you look at some of the opponents they faced off. In the 2 games where they exceeded 21 points, they played the Bears, who were ranked 32nd in defense in the National Football League. And then the final game of the regular season where they put up 30 points, it was against Tampa, who was playing nobody in the final game of the regular season. So from that standpoint, they've got to get better on the offensive end. Patrick, you mentioned it. And before I get into the defense, I just want to get your take. The reason why I'm going under on the Falcons is I am not a believer in 2-2 Desmond Ridder. I thought Marcus Mariota's rushing ability, and I know Ridder can move, but Mariota's got far more elite speed than Ridder does. What do you think of Desmond Ridder?
Yeah, the Ridder thing is fascinating because he did show some promise. I actually thought, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, I thought they pulled the plug a little quickly on Mariota. I still yes. like Mariota. I'm a Mariota truther. I know I have issues with my obsession with Marcus Mariota, but you mentioned the head coach. What he wants to do is run the football, and he does a lot of the run option stuff, and I thought Mariota better than Ridder at doing so. So I wasn't a huge Ridder guy, even at Cincinnati. Taylor Heineke's his backup, and Heineke just throws YOLO balls in the air. So it's going to have to be a Ridder situation. But if you're asking me right now, and I brought up Sam Howell, so the Commanders and Ron Rivera are hanging their hat on Sam Howell this year. I got to be honest with you, boys. I think I'd prefer long-term Howell right now over Ridder. That's just again, I've got nothing to go off of except one start from Sam Howell last year, but I'll ask you, I'll throw it back to the two of you. If you could start moving forward with Howell or Ridder, which one are you going to take?
Is this question a joke?
I
watched Desmond Ridder play at Cincinnati. That defense bailed them, and that running game bailed them out a lot. Sam Howell was electric on that offense. Give me Sam Howell every day of the week.
My take on Ridder, and this, it's nothing special. at any level, nothing special. Does he do anything above average? That would be my question. Does he do anything above average? And you're laughing, so my assumption is you're going to say no, big guy.
Desmond Ridder is like, this is another Mitchell Trubisky situation. Like, people who watch these guys in gym shorts throw like 7-on-7s, they go, oh, he's an athlete, he can move, he can do this, the ball makes this sound out of his hand. Like, they make up all these qualifiers of why he's a good quarterback. You know how I know he's not a good quarterback? I've watched him play scared in the NFL and be okay on a loaded Cincinnati team in a weak conference. Like, there's nothing about Desmond Ridder that screams to me franchise quarterback. And those are the only two markers in the NFL. You are either a franchise quarterback or you're not. And if you're not, we move on and find someone else. I actually think if this team plays with Taylor Heinicke, with some of the weapons they have with London in another year, they have Kyle Pitts, who they've failed to figure out how to use him in the league, with Bijan at running back, and what I think could be a very solid defense, I think with Taylor Heinicke, this could be a decent team. With Desmond Ridder there, he looks like a linebacker running the Wildcat offense.
He completes 4 starts, them all, 63.5% completion percentage. Again, he's a rookie, so his head's spinning. I get it. But here's where you start to get worried. And they ran the football a lot, and I'm guessing he wasn't asked to stretch the field, but only 6.2 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks. So he was super conservative with the ball. To your point and to Dustin's point, I see nothing special about the quarterback.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there. And, you know, at Cincinnati, the one thing that bothered me a little bit with him is he was not willing to stand in the pocket and take that shot. I thought one of the great attributes that Tom Brady had a quarterback was he would stand there and take that shot to the ribs. And Ridder seems to kind of just get out of the way, may throw the ball a little bit early. And that's so important in this league when you're getting pressured. On the flip side, this team defensively, 23rd in scoring defense. Now, they only have 4 starters back from last year: Grady Jarrett, A.J. Terrell, who I like, Lorenzo Carter, and Richie Grant. They've added a bunch of pieces, you know, some names that will resonate with people: Bud Dupree, Calais Campbell, Lorenzo Carter. And then here's the wild card for me, guys, in the secondary. Jeff Okuda comes in from Detroit. And the reason why I say that is Okuda's been a bust with injuries and just not good play in Detroit. But if he turns out to be what he was even halfway projected to be, then you've got a huge windfall in that secondary if you're the Atlanta Falcons. The strength of schedule is the second easiest in the NFL. That'll bode well for them. They get the Colts at home. They have also Houston and Washington at home. These are all winnable games. But again, for me, I don't care how good your pieces are around you. We talked about this with Washington. If you don't have the proper trigger man, it's going to be a problem. They've got great height. Mac Hollins, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. I'm telling you right now, this might be the best basketball team in the NFL. But other than that, I just don't see it, guys. 8.5, they've got to get to 9 wins. The division, as we talked about, is probably the weakest in the National Football League. But overall, it's going to come down to quarterback play, and that's what this league has become. And for me, it's a negative with Desmond Ridder. I'm going to go under 8.5 on the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know where you guys come out, but until I'm with you, they should have stayed with Mariota.
Totally agree with the under. 29th in run defense. That defensive unit ranked 26th in pass rush win rate. And really, if you think about it, they were dead last in the NFL. A whopping 43.5% of the drives of their opponents finished with the score. I bring that up because that's a bad look for a team that dominated in time of possession. They ran the ball nonstop. The only thing that kept the Atlanta defense from being atrocious in 2022 is they weren't on the field. They go out. You mentioned Calais Campbell. They add Dupree, you know, kind of bargain bin shopping with Okuda and Hughes and Trey Flowers. I think this defense stinks. At 8.5, I'll go under. The only thing saving them, if you want to go over, and we'll talk to Pritch about it, Amal and Dustin, and Dustin will go to you on this one, is just the gosh-awful division. That's it.
Yeah, it's their only hope. By the way, I've been watching Desmond Ridder's highlights from the year since I stopped talking last on the show. Didn't listen to a word either of you guys said. I will say this. I think I was a little hard on Desmond Ridder. It turns out he looked a little bit better than I remembered. So instead of a linebacker playing Wildcat quarterback, I'll say he looks like a wide receiver playing Wildcat.
Wait, can I ask the question? And Amal, you're a bit of a Mariota truther as
yes.
well. What did he do that was so abhorrent?
It's what he's always done everywhere. He's like Tyrod Taylor. They just don't do those winning plays. They don't take those shots. They're just so conservative in their game.
He summarized it perfectly. Mariota needs to see guys open, almost similar to what you see at the collegiate level on some deep throws. He just won't take certain shots there. but his speed is elite at the quarterback position, and I just think that he's a backup. I just don't like Desmond Ridder as the starting quarterback. That's why I don't.
I was going to say, if Mariota wasn't taking shots, Ridder said, hold my beer, in 6.2 yards per attempt. I guarantee Mariota was better than 6.2 yards per attempt. So, again, the play call, you mentioned the head coach. He wants to be conservative. Yep. He wants to run the football. He's very creative. We saw what he did in Tennessee. He's very good. We'll come back and talk to Falcons with Mike Pritchard next.